Well, it's a real pleasure for me to be in Leven again this evening, and a joy to see everyone who's managed along to the evening service on this rather cold winter's night. Your presence is very much appreciated. It would be kind of tempting just to stay at home, wouldn't it, by the fireside. But we're delighted that you've come along to the gospel meeting. Thank you for coming, and trust that God will bless his word to us tonight. Now, I was interested in the hymns because quite a few of them spoke about coming to the Lord, coming to the Lord Jesus for salvation. And that is the topic for my message this evening. It is the invitation to come. So we're going to read five Bible passages that have this word come in it. Now, sometimes the speakers read passages and we're left wondering what the connection is between those passages. And I'm giving you the answer before we start, okay? So we're looking for the word come in these five Bible readings. Now, the first one is in John's Gospel. We're going to read from all four Gospels. We're going to start in John's Gospel, chapter number 1. And we'll just read it, verse number 35, John chapter 1, verse 35. Again, the next day after John stood and two of his disciples, that's John the Baptist, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, "Behold the Lamb of God." And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and saw them following, and saith unto them, "What seek ye?" They said unto him, "Rabbi," which is to say, being interpreted, "Master, where dwellest thou?" He saith unto them, "Come and see." They came and saw where he dwelt, and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. Come and see. Now, Matthew chapter 11 for our second reading. Matthew chapter 11. And the last three verses of the chapter. And again, the Lord Jesus is the speaker. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Come and rest. Come and see, come and rest. Now back to John's Gospel and chapter number 7, John chapter 7. Verse 37, John chapter 7, verse 37. "In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his inward shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified." Come and drink. Come and see. Come and rest. Come and drink. Now, Mark chapter 8 for our fourth reading. Mark chapter 8. Verse number 34. Mark 8, verse 34. "And when Jesus had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Come and follow. Come and see, come and rest, come and drink, come and follow. Now, a final reading in Luke chapter 14. Luke 14, a little bit different because this is a story that the Lord Jesus told, a parable. Luke chapter 14 and verse 16. Luke 14, verse 16, then said Jesus unto him, a certain man made a great supper and bade many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So that servant came and showed his lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you, that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. Now we do trust that God will bless his word. The thought here in this story is come now. Come, for all things are now ready. Come now. So you've got the connection now. Here are some invitations from the Lord Jesus. Come and see. Come and rest. Come and drink. Come and follow. Come now. It's great to get an invitation, isn't it? Maybe you get an invitation sometimes to a special event, or maybe to a party. Or the last invitation we got a few weeks ago, in September actually, was to a golden wedding. Here it is, a 50th golden wedding anniversary invitation. When you're younger, you get invitations to weddings, right? But as you get older, here we are. It's a sign of the times, I suppose. It's not so much an invitation to a wedding, but to a 50th wedding anniversary. So we went along to Kirkcaldy and celebrated that happy event with our friends. But it's great to get an invitation to dress up, to enjoy a meal, and to enjoy the company of friends and family. Some people, of course, get an invitation from the Queen. Now, I've never had one, so I've never been to Buckingham Palace or to Holyrood, but maybe some of you have, and that would be a great honour, I'm sure. But actually, the message of the gospel is an invitation. And it is it's an even greater invitation and a greater honour. Because here is the Lord Jesus, the Son of God, and he's saying, I want you to come. Come. Come and rest. Come and see. Come and drink. Come and follow. And come now. And the wonderful message of the gospel is that the Lord Jesus invites men and women and boys and girls to come to him. It means to draw near to him. It means to get to know him. It means to share your life with him. and to have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, being a Christian, it's not about going to a place of worship or going to meetings. It's not about following a set of rules or keeping to a code of conduct. And being a Christian is not joining a religion. But being a Christian is all about a person. And it's getting to know that person. And it's all about committing your life to him and sharing your life with him. So I'm wondering if you're going to hear the invitation from the Lord Jesus this evening just to come and to come to him. Some of you will remember cassette tapes, right? It's a bit Stone Age technology now, but you know, a while ago it was all cassette tapes, and in your car you would have a cassette tape player. Now I know that it's gone on to CDs and it's past that now into whatever, MP3 or 4 or whatever it's at the moment. But anyway, I had a cassette tape, and it was an Irish quintet or quartet, a group of Irishmen singing, and I thought this was a fantastic cassette, and I used to play it all the time in the car. And there was one song on that cassette that was a real favourite of mine, and here's how it went. It's called The King and I. Now, it's nothing to do with a musical, so don't go down that road, okay? Listen to this. The King and I walk down life's road together, where many people go passing by. The greatest one and I, a lowly beggar, walk hand in hand, the King and I. Not long ago, the King and I were strangers. I walked alone, not knowing why. Then Jesus came and placed his arms around me. Now we're not strangers, the King and I. Why he should care for me will always be a mystery. He holds the world in his hand, and who am I? And so my heart somehow is made to wonder how we're together, the King and I. But you see, that's what the gospel is all about. And that could be the wonderful experience of every one of us here this evening, that you could walk down life's road together, the King and you. Isn't that amazing that the Lord Jesus would want to share our lives with him? There was one word that was constantly on the lips of the Lord Jesus, and it was the word, come, come. When I was in the Sunday school, we used to sing a chorus, C-O-M-E. C stands for children, though they're young and small. O stands for old folk. Jesus loves them all. M stands for middle-aged. They to Christ must bow. E stands for everybody. Come to Jesus now. So we're going to think about five times when we come across this word, come. We have these wonderful pen portraits in the Bible. These four men who recorded for us their memories. And God guided them to set down for us the life of the Lord Jesus. And how wonderful they've recorded for us so much, not everything, but so much that the Lord Jesus said and spoke. And they make it clear that the purpose of the mission of the Lord Jesus, the reason why he came, was to call men and women to himself, to experience God's salvation. Actually, you know, a few times, this is amazing really, the Bible records that Jesus wept. Do you not think that's something? It tells us that Jesus actually shed tears. Now, on one occasion, if you go out of the city of Jerusalem and you go down into the valley of Kidron, and there's the little stream at the bottom of the valley, and you go up the other side, the Mount of Olives, and halfway up the Mount of Olives, you turn into the left, and there's a beautiful little garden called, it's called Dominus Flevit, which is Latin for the Lord wept. Now Jesus stood in that garden on the side of the Mount of Olives, and he looked over the city of Jerusalem, and there it is, the other side of the valley. And you've seen it many times, that beautiful golden dome of the temple. And the Bible records that when Jesus stood there, he wept. Why was he so upset? Why did he sob? He says, "Oh Jerusalem, oh Jerusalem, how often would I have gathered you as a hen gathereth her brood under its wings, but ye would not." And you see, he felt it. He'd come to give that invitation. He'd come to call the people of Israel to himself, but they wouldn't come. And so he wept. So you see, this is a very intense thing. This is something that is so, it's not a casual invitation. But this invitation that comes from the Lord Jesus to us tonight to come is something that he feels, and a very emotional thing, and he calls for us to come to him. Now, first of all, we read, "Come and see." Right at the outset of the life and ministry, the public ministry of the Lord Jesus, these two disciples were following another leader called John the Baptist, and he was a remarkable person. Jesus said that there was no one greater than him. Those born of women, there was no one greater than John the Baptist. And John the Baptist pointed out the Lord Jesus one day, "Behold the Lamb of God that beareth away the sin of the world." And so these two men recognize that here was someone who eclipsed even the greatness of John the Baptist. It was the Lord Jesus. And they left following the Lord, and they turned John the Baptist, and they turned and followed the Lord Jesus. And Jesus turned and spoke to them and said, "What are you looking for? What seek ye?" And they said, "Where dwellest thou?" And the Lord Jesus said, "Come and see." What an invitation. Come and see. And they dwelt with him. What they would never forget that day, I don't think, as they spent it in the presence and company of the Lord Jesus. And listen, that's the first invitation I want you to think about tonight. Come and see. Would you not look at this wonderful, glorious person, the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you ever considered him seriously? Don't just relegate him to a historical figure or a great teacher. He's actually God. That the theologians speak about God incarnate. He was God manifest in flesh down here walking in this world. And we should take a good look at him. Humanity and deity combined in one person. And don't ask me to explain it. I can't explain it. Many years ago, before I went, I was just leaving school. It was the year I left school. I was 18, 52 years ago. I went to spend the summer in France with a group of young people, and we were going around the doors selling Bibles and Christian books and handing out Christian literature. And before we went, we had to learn a whole lot of Bible verses in French so that we could at least say something to the people when they opened the door. Not that my French was very good, but I can still remember some of those verses. And one of the verses that we had to learn was John 3 verse 16. Now, some of you will be French scholars, so you'll excuse this. But John 3:16 in French goes a little bit like this: "Car Dieu," for God, "a tant aimé le monde," has loved the world so much, "qu'il a donné," that he has given, "son fils, listen to this, unique. That he gave his unique son. Afanque, to the end, that quiconque, whoever, Clarton Louis, believes in him, ne perisse point. It's the strong negative, the emphatic, may not perish at all, mais qu'il ait la vie éternelle, but that he might have eternal life. But I just want you to catch that. We're thinking about God's unique son. There's no one like him. And he's given you an invitation tonight. Would you not come and see his birth, his life, his death, his resurrection, his ascension. He's coming back again. His power, his love, his compassion, his teaching, his sinless perfection, his purpose. Would you not tonight take a good look at the Lord Jesus? Come and see. And the best way to do that is to read your Bible. Read the Gospels. And read the stories of the Lord Jesus. The things that he did, the things that he said. And take a good look at him. Don't look at the Christians. We'll let you down. We'll disappoint you for sure. But you must take a good look at the Lord Jesus. Come and see. Here's another invitation. Come and rest. Come and rest. The Lord Jesus says, all you who labor. You know, the Bible speaks about sin as bondage. And people are laboring under the bondage of sin. And then he says, you who are heavy laden. Sin is a burden. Sin is a bondage. Sin is a burden. And the Lord Jesus says, look, come. Come to me, all ye who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I wonder if there's someone here who's conscious of that burden. You know, I'm in the middle of a course of treatment at the dentist. It's not been particularly enjoyable for me. And I've got a temporary crown in here, and I'm just hoping it'll last out till I go back again. But, you know, I would only go to the dentist if I needed. It's not a hobby of mine. You know, I don't think, I think I'll phone the dentist up. I haven't been for a while. You see, it's only when we feel the need to go. Listen, we need to feel the need. We need to feel the burden of sin. And it would be great if we felt the burden and felt the need to come to Christ, to rest, to find forgiveness and salvation. We live in a world where there's no sense of sin, eh? Anything seems to go. And there's no shame anymore. But you know, God hasn't changed. And sin is as serious to God as it ever was. And although the plumb line of a God-given conscience has been kind of destroyed, how wonderful that those who are heavy laden and those who are in bondage. And the sad thing is, you see, that people are going to the wrong things. And the answer is here in coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. You'll know about Pilgrim's Progress, I'm sure. Maybe some of you have read it. It's a long time since I read it. I think I found it a bit heavy going. But it's a story about a man called Christian, and he's on his way to the celestial city. And he runs to a cross. On his journey, he runs to a cross with great difficulty because he's got a heavy burden on his back. You can't run, can you, with a heavy burden on your back? But when he gets to the cross, his burden falls off his shoulders and falls off his back, and it tumbles down And this is what Pilgrim says. It says, he gave three leaps for joy and went on singing, thus far I did come, laden with my sin. Nor could aught ease the grief that I was in till I came hither. What a place is this! Must here be the beginning of my bliss? Must here the burden fall from off my back? Must here the strings that bound it to me crack? Blessed cross, blessed sepulchre, but blessed rather be the man that there was put to shame for me. And you see, this wonderful invitation comes to us tonight to come with all our sin, heavy laden, and burdened, and struggling, laboring. And the reason why we can come to the Lord Jesus is because upon the cross, he paid the price. He shed his precious blood. And God laid upon his only Son my sin and your sin. And because he bore God's judgment, there's available to you and me forgiveness. We can come to him and rest. Come and see. Come and rest. Come and drink. That's a great invitation, isn't it? The Bible says, the Gospel says, that on the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried. I don't think we read many times about the Lord Jesus shouting, but can you see him shouting? He's raising his voice. What's he saying? If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Who's this invitation for? If any man thirst. Is there somebody here tonight and there's an emptiness in your heart and a realization that there must be more to life than this? You know, one has said that in every heart there's a God-shaped vacuum. There's a space that only God can fill. And again, people are trying so many other things. But here's the answer. The Lord Jesus says, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. And out of his inward shall flow rivers of living water. You know, it's interesting, isn't it? It was the last day, the great day of the feast. You see, God's people had come up to Jerusalem, and in their calendar they had these special feasts that they kept throughout the year. And here was one of them, a great one. And yet, although they had come, and although they had been all through the ritual and the form of their religious observance, the Lord Jesus is recognizing that they're still thirsty souls. And although it was the last day they'd been there celebrating this feast, but on the last day, the great day, Jesus stands up and he cries, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. You know, God's ancient people were the children of Israel. And in the Old Testament, we read how that they'd rejected God and they departed from God. And this is what God said. My people have committed two evils. Number one, they have abandoned me, the fountain of living waters. And number two, they've dug for themselves cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. What a picture of our world. God might well say to us tonight, they have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and they have dug for themselves empty cisterns. But listen, the Lord Jesus is saying to you tonight, here's another invitation. Will you not come and drink and find satisfaction and fulfillment in trusting the Saviour? We'll need to be quick. Come and follow. Come and follow. The Lord Jesus said, if any man desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Come and follow. You know, this spells out the cost of being a Christian. It's not an easy thing to be a Christian. It's not an easy option. It's not a way out. It costs something to be a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what a Christian is. It's not just for Sundays. It's for every day of the week. And it's for the whole of our lives. And one has said that the entrance fee to heaven is nothing, but the annual subscription is everything. And the Lord Jesus says, look, I want you to come and I want you to follow me. And in between he puts this little bit, let him deny himself, deny himself. And so there's the cost of being a follower of the Lord Jesus. To follow him, a rejected man, a man who carried a cross, who made his way outside the city of Jerusalem, that they cried, crucify, away with him. And the Lord Jesus asks us to follow him. Come and follow. And he says, the Lord Jesus says, look, what shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? So on the scale pan, you see, you've got to put your soul and you've got to put the world. And what way is the scale pan? And the most precious thing that you have, you see, is your never dying soul. And we need to consider that when we think of coming and following the Lord Jesus. Now, finally, come now, come now. The Lord Jesus told this parable about a man who made a great supper. Now, notice it was a supper. It wasn't a breakfast, and it wasn't a lunch. It was the last meal of the day. The last meal. Do you know, this could be the last meal of the day. One day the gospel is going to be preached for the very last time. It could be the last time for any one of us. It could be the last time for all of us. We're looking for the Lord to come. And to come at any time. And so here's the last meal of the day. And the invitation goes out, come now. And they all began to make excuse. You know, usually on an invitation it says, please reply, doesn't it? I think it said on this man's invitation, please reply. On the invitation to the golden wedding it said, please reply. We're going to make a reply tonight. Are we going to accept? Or are we going to be like the people here? I pray thee have me excused. Will you come? Will you come now? You know what the opposite to come is, don't you? It's depart. And you know, the Lord Jesus who tonight says, come, the Bible says one day he's going to say, depart. And folks are going to stand at the entrance to heaven and they're going to say, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And the Bible says he will say, depart. He won't say, come. He'll say, depart. Because I never knew you. That's solemn, isn't it? We need to come. Now, I wonder if you got to walk the Queen's Ferry Crossing, did you, a few weeks ago when the new bridge was opened. My brother said to me, would you like to cross the Queen's Ferry crossing? I said, well, that would be great. He says, well, I'll put in an application, which he did. And then a short time later, we all got an email saying, sorry, you're not getting to go. Because there was only space for 50,000 people, and there were 250,000 people wanted to go. But I did get an invitation. It's amazing what you get on eBay, eh? I had to go to eBay. It's your official invitation. And inside this invitation to walk the bridge, it says, a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. A once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. Beautiful little invitation. A little cut-out here of the bridge. The Scottish Government formally invite you to celebrate the completion and opening of the Queen's Ferry crossing. But I never got to go. And I was disappointed. And I was even not amused that friends of ours were getting to go. And I, are you not glad that God's salvation is not like that? You're all invited. Everyone here tonight, you're all invited. That little word in our hymns tonight, whosoever will may come. But you've got to will. May it be that the Lord would speak to our hearts and help us to take that step of faith and to come to Christ and know these blessings that we've been thinking about this evening. Shall we pray? Our God and our Father, we thank thee again for the opportunity to read thy word. We bless thee again that ever the words of the Lord Jesus have been written down and recorded for us, and we can read them and apply them to our own lives and circumstances even today. And we thank thee again that this invitation still goes forth to come. And we pray that some in the meeting this evening, if they've never done so before, might come and trust the Saviour and know the rest. And know that satisfaction from thirst which he is able to give. So we ask a blessing upon every head and heart bowed in thy presence as we commend ourselves to thee and ask for a safe homeward journey for us all, giving thanks in the Saviour's precious name. Amen. Perhaps we could just take time to sing. I'm sorry the time is over, but 123. Come to the Saviour, make no delay. Here in his word he has shown us the way. Here in our midst he's standing today, tenderly saying, come. We'll just sing the first and the last verses, remaining in our seats, after which our service is over. Many thanks again for coming, and may God richly bless you. 1, 2, 3, first and last verses. Come to the Saviour, make no delay.